Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Marital Bliss here at Car Talk Plaza. Now get this. There was an article in the paper, in our paper, the Boston Globe recently. It probably was from one of the wire services.
Well, it was actually reprinted from the Los Angeles Times.
Okay. And the gist of it is, here's the title, Marriages Endure When You Just Do What Your Wife Says.
Yeah.
That's the
Some researcher, a guy named John Gottman from the University of Washington.
Whose wife told him to do
whose
the research.
Whose wife told him to do the research. What they were actually doing, they were studying the effect of what we call active listening. This is what marriage counselors have been telling people to do for decades. You know,
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Your wife says something, and you say to her, yes, dear, I understand that, and I guess what you mean by that is da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you would have an exchange, and you would come to some realization, some epiphany, whatever. They found out that that does nothing to enhance marital bliss. Instead, the only thing that works is if the wife says do something and the husband
does it. Yeah.
That's it.
Well, from your own experience, can you tell us if this works?
Well, first of all, it isn't clear because what it says is that those are the marriages which endure.
Endure, yes.
And so the question is, do they last forever or does it just seem like forever? That's my question.
Well, it may just seem like forever.
It may just seem like forever.
And that's good enough.
That might be good enough. I don't know. I mean, we had a call. This is a very important question. We had a call, I think it was last week, as a matter of fact, where some woman said that she always locked her car because she said, quote, because my husband makes me.
Mm.
And I said, how does the husband get to be in a position where he makes
that
her do
kind
things?
Of power?
Where does he get? I can't even get
and,
my wife to cook
does
dinner.
Does he teach a course?
How do they do that? Here's my theory. The guys who make their wives do things and their wives do them.
Yes.
Are the guys who fix things around the house.
No. Trust me. No, I
that's
fix things.
Not it either.
I fix things around the house.
Yeah.
As my wife tells me to. Anyway. If you would like to talk to us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Abby calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Hi, Abby.
Abby, how are you?
Good,
that's a
how
nice
are you?
Name, Abby, isn't it?
Well, it was a little difficult growing up when people called me Flabby Abby every now and then.
Is your name Abigail?
Yes, it is.
But it's amazing how kids can seize upon any weakness whatsoever.
Oh, they're cruel.
They are cruel.
They're nasty little pieces of, of humanity.
Well, our grandmother had the unique ability to find someone's slightest fault.
And make up a magnificent pseudonym.
There was a boyfriend that my sister brought home one day. And this guy had unfortunately one eye that looked straight ahead and another eye that didn't look quite straight ahead.
Oh.
And upon meeting him, my grandmother...
Otherwise, very handsome.
Very handsome guy. And my grandmother, who spoke only Italian, nicknamed him Fri il pesce, guarda il gatto, which means he can fry the fish and watch the cat at the same time. And, you know, that's, you got to be
true.
Pretty quick to come up with stuff like that. Anyway... what's up, Abby?
Well, I had a relatively minor car accident the other day in which I wasn't at fault at all.
Relatively minor, you said?
Yeah, no one was injured.
Okay.
But the damage from the car that hit me is going to require that I leave my car in the shop for 2 weeks while it's being fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, my car insurance doesn't cover a rental car. It also just so happens that the guy who hit me is a professor at the university at which I'm a grad student.
Oh, your department?
No, not my department.
Lucky you.
And since I know that you're familiar with academia and
yes.
also familiar with cars, I thought maybe you could suggest the best way for me to approach him to ask if he will personally pay for my car rental while my car is in the shop.
Oh.
What department is he in?
I think he's in the Department of Physics.
Oh, you're done for.
Oh, geek.
Yeah, I mean, if you were in the humanities,
you might
have a shot at it.
Or religion.
Yeah, right. It's theology department. But physicists are pretty cut and dry guys, wouldn't you say?
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to tell you they are.
How old a guy is he?
I don't know, in his 40s maybe?
How old, and what are you in?
I'm in my late 20s.
Maybe he could just pick you up.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I was thinking, I'm in the School of Social Work and Sociology, and yeah. I was thinking maybe I could play the social work card and explain to him that I really need a rental car so that I can go visit underprivileged children.
Ah. See, that's going to run into money, though. A couple of weeks of a car is
what?
What does it cost to rent a car these days?
At least, like, maybe 25 a day.
$25 a day. That's
He'll never agree to it. How about, do you have in Ann Arbor, I know a lot of cities have an outfit called Rent a Rec, which doesn't really mean rent a wreck, but it's renting an older car that isn't in great shape physically or emotionally even.
Mm.
but it's a car you can bebop around town with.
Okay.
For maybe half the price.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need a brand new car because yours isn't brand new either.
No, it's
so
not.
Here's what you do. You get them to agree to the $25 a day, and then you rent a wreck for $12.50, and you break it.
Talk of the difference. Good idea.
Ann Arbor doesn't have something like Zipcar.
Not that I've heard of.
So why do you need a car every day? I mean, after all, you are
she
a
doesn't.
Student.
Yeah, well, I do serve as a big sister to a 8-year-old child who lives about half an hour away.
Oh.
I think your best bet is to ask if you can use his car. And tell him you'll drive a lot more carefully than he does.
He does.
Or maybe he has another car just kicking around. Maybe he has a son or a daughter at college whose car is just sitting in the driveway.
Hmm.
In fact, I have a son at college. You can use his car.
Oh, thanks. Great.
Yeah.
The Dodge Colt Vista.
There you go. So
wonderful.
It's possible that he has a car kicking around that if he took pity on you.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least, even if he doesn't have a car, just ask him maybe if he could, like, help you out. Maybe he's got other ideas. Who knows?
Okay, so you think it's worthwhile to ask?
I think it's worth asking.
It's worth asking, but because he's a physicist.
I wouldn't have high hopes.
Be prepared for
him to laugh in my face.
Yeah, for his foot.
Okay.
Good luck, Abby.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
How you doing?
Good.
This is Scott from Foxborough, and I have a kind of unique
Scott?
Question for you.
Scott, did you say?
Scott.
From Foxborough, Mass?
Yes.
Do you work at the Foxborough Company?
No, I don't, but I have a tall maple tree that you can climb in and watch a Patriots play at.
Oh, no kidding.
Come on down.
My brother used to work for the Foxborough Company.
Yes. I was once an employee.
Right across the street from it.
No kidding.
What's up?
I got a unique question for you. I'm trying to get a hold of a remote control fuel limiter. Cost is not an issue. And I want something.
Well, let me write this down. Remote control
fuel limiter.
Okay. I've got it. I can think of several applications for such a thing, but go ahead.
Okay.
Cost is no object,
and basically, I race with my wife, and I haven't beat her yet, so if I figure that I can come up with some
I got it.
Yeah. To shut off her fuel supply.
No, not shut it off.
Oh, just diminish it.
Cut it out a little bit.
Well, it so happens. I mean, what an interesting coincidence.
How propitious. That you should live across the street from the Foxborough Company.
Yeah, I mean, the Foxborough Company makes exactly these devices. I'm sure they do not make a radio-controlled one, but with a couple of little minor.
It's getting to be a little embarrassing because I haven't beat her yet.
Where do you race? What do you race?
We just race the cones. Cones in a parking lot with a timing light. We have a Sentra, 1.6 Sentra. Plain Jane.
And you go to some empty parking lot.
Yeah.
And you set up these plastic cones.
Yes.
And you slalom through them. Yeah, like that.
Preferably not hitting them over or going off the course because it's not too good. And I can't catch her. She's consistently better than me.
She is, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you've hit on the right solution.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, it doesn't... I realize it doesn't have to be now remote control, because you could, if you had a hidden switch, that would work just as well. You go through, you do your whatever they call it.
Your run.
Your run.
Yeah.
And then you get out of the car. You got the, it's the same car, right?
Yes. Yep.
You reach under the seat. You flick the switch, and it's and the thing starts running lousy.
Well, did you ever consider the possibility that she's already done that?
No.
You don't.
Oh,
she's a smarty. Oh, maybe she has.
Maybe
then I need a descrambler.
Yeah.
So what else do you do?
Or a jammer.
I mean, it's obvious that you guys are living right on the edge. What else do you do for excitement down there in Foxborough? Besides climb the tree and watch the Patriots.
Watch the Patriots, drive around in a car, spinning out.
Yeah, that's it, huh?
Yeah, anything
it sounds like an exciting place to live.
It is.
Are there any openings?
Sure, come on down. Hey, we're always looking for new people to race.
Okay, I'll be there, Scott.
Great.
He will. See you later.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Mary?
Yes.
Just plain old Mary, huh?
Yeah, plain old Mary.
Not with an I or anything. Just
boy, that's a good name.
Good Irish name, yeah.
Yeah. Are you Irish?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah?
Mary Kathleen.
Oh,
Mary Kathleen.
Mary
I'll
Kathleen.
Take you home again,
ooh.
Kathleen.
So anyway, Mary, what's up?
Well, I have an 88 Colt Vista.
Oh!
Yeah. It's been an interesting automobile to own.
Yes, of course. I know now, without even talking to you for another second, that you are a refined, highly intelligent human being.
Well, thank you very much.
And you're broke.
That's
oh, yeah, that's
true.
Oh, yeah.
That's very true. Right on, because I've been putting it all into the car.
Right.
But I'm an archaeologist.
Really?
Yeah.
You work in that area?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right up in the Four Corners area.
Ooh.
And this
ooh.
Is, yeah, I know, it's beautiful.
Ooh, I could just see you now in Chinle Wash.
Yeah, yeah. But this is the problem, because the site that I'm working on, come April, is 50 miles from the middle of nowhere, which is a town that's not on the maps of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But
and the Colt Vista is never going to make it there.
Back. The main problem I'm having is this weird tick. It happens when I start it up first thing in the morning. And if I accelerate, but it's only when the car idles.
That's a very important clue.
And you don't have to be moving to hear the tick.
No. Is this really simple? Should I have known about this?
And as soon as you step on the gas?
It goes.
Goes away.
Right. Tell me I don't need to buy a new timing belt.
No,
no
I don't,
you don't,
I don't
need to buy a new timing belt, no.
Oh, good.
No, I don't think so.
You need to buy a new engine.
Oh, come on.
Well, I mean, you could, obviously there are some terrible things that it could be, but I don't think it's something terrible at all.
Yeah.
Really?
You could have a small exhaust leak from one of the emission control devices under the hood. There's a couple of pipes that run to the catalytic converter to a pulse air system that could be causing the problem. And that would tend to go away when you revved it because the pulses would just come faster and you wouldn't be able to hear them. So at idle, you're getting...
Exactly. That's
and then when you
exactly
rev it up,
it
instead of being... It becomes... And it's masked by all the other noises that the engine
makes. The rattles and
the... rattles, the water pump that's bad, and the belts that are squealing and everything
and the
else.
Timing belt that you need.
Right.
And the dogs barking in the back, exactly.
Right, the coyotes howling. Oh! But
very
I think... that what you have, you're going to love this answer, Mary.
Yes.
We used this as a puzzler many years ago.
We did?
Did you?
Yeah. It wasn't an 88 Colt Vista. It was a 72 Fiat.
Oh!
I remember the guy had come in for a valve adjustment. He had said he had done it himself.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He did everything right by the book, and the valves were still noisy. And he comes into the shop, and sure enough, he starts the thing up, and tick, 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 tick. So I take the thing apart, and I do a valve adjustment, convinced that this bozo had done it wrong. And I confidently put it back together, and I start it up, and the same tick is there. And what it turned out to be was a loose spark plug.
That's
yeah.
Yeah. One of the spark plugs was loose, allowing enough exhaust to escape, and it sounds just like a valve that's out of adjustment, and it'll make a very regular tick, 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 tick. And sometimes it will change just enough. You'll miss a tick or two.
Okay.
Because depending on how it's moved the spark plug, but if you run the engine and look at the spark plugs, you will see them. You will see one of them moving.
Okay.
And just while it's making the noise, just touch the spark plug wire, and the ticking will stop.
And you'll get a shock.
Oh,
no,
oh,
you
great.
Won't. You won't get a shock, and then you can take out your spark plug wrench and tighten them up, and your ticking days will be over.
Oh, good.
On the other hand,
you could need an engine.
You could.
I didn't want to hear that.
No, it won't be that bad. I mean, you could, for example, one of the things you could need is an oil pump.
I mean,
it could be that you're not developing enough oil pressure, and that's why you're getting the ticker.
Oh, geez.
And then when you step on the gas, you build up the oil pressure, and it goes
but
away.
But it's more tick as opposed to tick. It isn't tick.
No, doesn't that sound like a chicken?
Sound.
Exactly.
The chicken sound is bad.
Okay. Yeah. So
if it has any resemblance to the first sound that my brother made, which is the psst kind of sound, that's good. That would be the easiest thing to fix.
I'm telling you, Mary, it's a loose spark plug.
Yeah, that's the easiest thing to fix, actually.
Okay.
That would
be
really good.
What we need from you now, if this is correct, then when you go back to the site, we need a picture of you at Mesa Verde.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, I can do that if I actually make
you
it.
You in the Colt Vista and the donkey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck.
I'll be sure to send you one.
All right.
Leave a boyfriend out of this.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary.
See you later.
Thanks very much. Have
Bye-bye.
A good day.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tommy. Now, I know you don't remember last week's puzzle, so I'm going to give you a hint.
All right. Lay it on me, baby.
It had to do with your medication regime.
Which one?
The one for your anal cranial inversions. I'll have the answer in just a minute, so stay tuned.
I-5-405 southbound in County Line. Here again it's 5 a.m. and traffic's barely moving. Rubberneck and changing lanes, read up a coffee stain. Take a bite, make a call, fix your face, do it all. Pressures of commuting can lead only to one thing. Baby, pull back and much too tight, I'm gonna pop a sprain.
Everybody on the road is driving like you got it in time. Back and forth, changing lanes, and maybe they should you get late. Up in the morning, don't be late, and then they won't be the end. Stress and worry, tension to my day. Remember, life is short and things aren't always what they seem. Patience is a virtue, it's not a born thing.
And even though snowmen everywhere pray for temperatures in the upper 40s whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
You know, I drive junky cars.
Hello, this is Nina Totenberg.
When my husband and I were courting, he was really scandalized by my very old Mazda 626. And when we were invited to a state dinner at the White House, he said that I should rent a fancier car. I refused, of course. It's amazing to think that I could turn that dumpy car into my favorite programs.
Just visit the Car Talk vehicle donation program at cartalkvdp.com. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. This came in from a listener named Scott Crass. You ready?
I actually remember the puzzler.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You've been placed on a medication regime in which you are to take the following medications once a day. You are to take one tablet of medicine A and one tablet of medicine B.
That would be like Valium and Prozac.
There you go. It's in your case, right.
In my case.
So you've got two, little boxes of pills, and you must be careful because taking two or more Bs can have unpleasant side effects, like severe hemorrhoidal flare-ups. And taking an A and not a B or vice versa can also be very serious.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for B to be effective, it must be accompanied by the A pill. So you must take exactly one A and one B. Got it?
I'm with you.
So you open up the A bottle, and you tap it, and one A pill falls into your hand.
Got it. Boom.
You put that bottle aside. You take the B bottle, and you do the same, but by mistake, two Bs fall into your hand. Mm. Now, here's the problem. The pills look identical.
Oh, same, bummer!
Same size, same weight, same color, same everything. And they don't have A's and B's written on them, and they're both,
not.
Identical, so what are you going to do? You can't tell which is which, but if you'd make, you could go eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
You could throw them away and start over again.
But they're $100 a piece. Did I mention that?
You can throw them away and start over again.
So here's the question. How do you get your daily dose of exactly one A and exactly one B without wasting any of the pills?
Wow.
And here's how you do it. You know that you have one A and two Bs. You just can't tell which are which. So let's add another A to the mix. So now you have two A's and two B's. So you lay the four pills out in a row, but you don't know which are which.
No.
Now you could, again, go eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And your chances of getting the right thing are improved by having done this, but not good enough.
No, because you might die.
You could die. However, if you take each pill and cut it in half, and without mixing up the halves, in other words, the first pill you cut in half, you leave those two halves near each other.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the second, the third, and the fourth pill. And then you take one from each of the cut pills.
A half a pill from each of the
right.
pairs.
So by definition, because you know you have two A's and two B's in the mix, you'll take a half an A from one of the cut pills and a half a B and then another half an A and then another half a B, and you'll have two half B's and two half A's, making one A and one B, and then the remaining pills, the cut pieces, will be tomorrow's dose.
Man.
Who's our winner, Tommy?
I have to say that that is not intuitively obvious.
No?
No.
Well, the only thing that, that made me a little bit discouraged about the puzzler was that Berman got it.
He did, huh?
He did, yeah. Anyway, do we have a winner?
Yeah, we have a winner. The winner is Tom Mallon from Santa Clara, California. Tom, for having your answer selected at random from among the thousands of correct answers that we got, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which you can buy, well, I'd say about $25 worth of shameless commerce. Hey, spend it any way you want, Tommy baby. All right, we will have a new non-automotive puzzler, if I can remember it, in the third half of today's show. So stay tuned for that.
Sounds fishy to me.
Yeah, it's a fish. It's a fish puzzler.
It is.
Oh, it was. I don't remember. In the meantime,
well, you better work on it, man. You've been giving me such a hard time about.
I got till the third half of the show to think about it.
I'm getting such grief about my puzzlers. I figured I'll let you take over.
All right.
I'm not doing any more puzzlers.
In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about your car at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-278-5822-58227.
Five. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Marge Davis.
Hi, Marge.
Hi, I'm from Long Beach, California.
Long Beach.
Oh, and we got a sunny day out here today.
Oh, rub it in, will you, Marge?
You've had a lot of rain lately, right?
But as you can, when I start talking, you'll know where I'm from.
Oh.
I have a problem with my car.
My car?
Yeah.
You must be from Massachusetts.
Right. Originally from Lynn.
Lynn,
so, how did you wind up in Long Beach?
Well, I left Lynn and went to the Philippines and then came back to Long Beach, California.
Oh, were you working as like a shoe buyer for Imelda Marcos?
No, I didn't. We were at Super Bay.
CIA.
CIA work. Yeah.
Spy. She's a spy.
And on the way back, you said, why should I go all the way back to Lynn where it's cold?
Right.
Let's stay right here, hon.
Yeah.
So what's your problem, Margie, baby?
Okay. Well, I got a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a car. My car is a 88 Grand Marquis Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
I notice every once in a while I get a smell of gasoline, and especially sometimes when I park it in the garage. And I brought it to my mechanic, and they checked everything else, and it still went away. And he said that his son had sometimes had gotten gas someplace, and they could smell it. So anyways, I thought, well, maybe it's a gas. I don't know. But I still could smell it. Then occasionally, I'm also not getting as good a gas mileage.
And when you brought it into these mechanics,
uh-huh.
They looked for a gas leak and were unable to find one?
Yeah, they couldn't find a gas leak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did get it filled up yesterday at a Mobile gas station. I went out this morning, and I couldn't smell anything today. So I don't know if it is the gas I used.
It's not the gas.
It's not the gas.
No, all gas is the same.
And okay. you notice it mostly when you pull it into the garage.
Yeah, it smells, or even can go out the next morning and I still smell it.
It sure sounds like you have a gas leak.
Yeah, I think so. I have to agree with my brother. You have a gas leak.
And they didn't find it, but they have to look some more.
Okay.
Because you have a gas leak.
Yeah, and I'm afraid of a fire. We had one time we had a car that caught on fire because it was a gas problem.
Sometimes that's a blessing in disguise.
Here's what I suggest. I think the leak is probably coming from one of your injectors.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to have to sniff the injectors with their emissions tester, with the smog tester.
Okay. I keep a piece of cardboard underneath my car.
Never find it that way.
In the garage.
Yeah, when the leak gets that big that you'll find it with the cardboard,
yeah,
the car will have caught on fire already.
Oh, well, I don't want that to happen.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, all right. I'll tell that to my mechanic and have him do a little more checking on it.
Excellent.
What kind of a dog do you... is that a German Shepherd you have?
No, that's a Cocker Spaniel.
He has a German Shepherd's bark.
Yeah. You're
giving him the wrong dog food.
Hey, good luck, Marge.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hey, you know what it's time for?
Time to give up wrong answers for Lent?
No, that's not a bad idea, though. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we check in on a previous caller and find out whether our answer gave him courage, solace, spiritual inspiration,
or just Arjuna. So who's our supplicant this week?
Well, it's Dan from Petoskey, Michigan. Remember him?
Dan who?
Come on, it was only a couple of weeks ago. You can't remember one call from a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, right. You can't remember a call from 10 minutes ago. Who was the last person who called us before Stump the Chumps?
What do you mean the last person? What does that mean, last?
Okay, anyway, who was Dan?
Dan called us a few weeks back because he was having trouble with his 95 Toyota pickup.
Since then, though, it's been idling high continually. The gas mileage has gone into the toilet. And when I pull up to a stop and I put it in neutral, it's doing this sort of funny lugging thing where it goes down and it goes...
Yeah, I know exactly what it is.
Exactly, yeah. How did you know that?
I used to own a 95 Toyota pickup. This is a classic case, Dan, of this is a classic case. Give me some hints.
That was a classic case of stalling. You stalling.
So anyway, what did we tell him?
I don't remember. I think we said it was a classic case of an engine that was running too cool. You said it was either a faulty thermostat or a coolant temperature sensor, and I had a feeling that it was the sensor.
Well, let's see how we did. Dan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, actually.
All right, before we find out what happened, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay.
So the first question is, was it either the thermostat or the temperature sensor?
No, I'm sorry, it was not.
Neither! Oh! Oh, man,
I'm crushed.
But you got it fixed?
I did, actually. It was really easy. I told the mechanic to check the coolant temperature sensor and the thermostat, and they did and said that they were both working fine. What they did adjust was the air bleed valve, which they explained is the modern version of the idle on that truck.
Yeah.
And they made a minor adjustment there, and the problem went away.
Just to add insult to injury, did they say that it was a classic case of a bleed screw needing...
Sure, rub it in, why don't you?
A classic... Oh, well... Down one.
What were my exact words?
This is a classic
case of an engine that was running too cool.
Yeah, those were your
words. I did
words.
Say that. A faulty thermostat or a coolant temp. Classic. Classic case.
Classic case.
All right,
even classic cases don't have to always be exactly that.
All right.
Well Dan,
okay, Dan, thanks for
I wish we could say it was nice talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for playing Stump the Chump. See you later.
Oh, don't be a spoil sport. Dan, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Thanks for having me back on.
I'm glad you got it fixed.
And I'm glad it didn't cost you much money.
Yeah, that's the best part.
Thanks very much. See you later.
Thanks for playing.
Bye-bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, please email us from cartalk.com.
Or if you can't wait and you need to stump us right now, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Boy, I was so sure.
Hi, this is Kathy from Kirkland, Washington.
Hi, Kathy.
Kirkland, the state of Washington, so it's got to be Kathy with a K.
A K and an I-E.
Right, of course.
Oh, okay.
I have a driving etiquette question, and it will help me settle a dispute I'm having with my boyfriend.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, okay, you're right, whatever it is.
Well, what I'm curious about is when did it become acceptable for people to roar up behind you on the freeway and get right on your bumper and then flash their lights at you so you'll get out of their way?
Wow. Well, to my knowledge, Kathy, it has never become acceptable to do what your boyfriend thinks is acceptable.
And probably does, right?
Well, you know, I've never actually seen him do it, and that's why we got into this argument, because
he won't do it with you in the car.
somebody came up behind us, and I said, that is so rude. When did that become okay? And he said, it's always been okay. It's not only okay, it's legal, and it's expected.
So you know that he does it.
And it's what they do on the Audubon, and I'm like, whatever. They didn't teach me that in driver's ed. I'm sure they did.
Ha! Now I know. You're right. That's what they do on the Autobahn.
Yeah.
And it's all those damn kids going for junior year abroad that are bringing this infection back to America.
Oh, that could be it.
That's it. That's exactly it. And what are they driving? Most of them?
BMW.
There you go.
Yes, and that's what my boyfriend drives. And I said, well, maybe this is just because you are a Beamer driver.
No, I mean, I have to say, Kathy, that this is one of the rudest things you can do on the road.
That's what I think.
Of course.
Perfect.
And it's illegal also.
It's illegal, too?
Because it's tailgating.
It's tailgating, sure.
I'll bet you $1,000 that your boyfriend doesn't have the faintest clue what the tailgating law is. I'll bet you doesn't even know there is a tailgating law because your boyfriend, I hate to tell you, Kathy, is a complete moron.
Uh-oh, wait a minute, Tommy.
And if you don't dump this,
Tommy's pills.
If you don't dump
medic,
this guy right away,
medic,
you're gonna be really sorry. Any guy who will do that and think it's okay is not a guy you want to get serious with.
But I will defend. I'm gonna give you a scenario, and I know that the scenario is true because I've been on one end of it.
Yeah.
Somebody pulls up behind you, maybe at a reasonably safe distance, but maybe a little bit too close, and it could be construed as tailgating. And that person flashes his lights. Now, it's entirely possible that that person flashed his lights, and I'll say his because it's mostly guys who do this,
yeah,
from a safer distance, but you didn't notice it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that person then pulls up closer so that now you will notice the lights in your rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And then what often happens is you notice then that you're being tailgated. And that's when you dig your heels in and you say, if he had done this from 500 feet back or whatever, I would have, in fact, pulled over. But now that he's tailgating me, I'll be damned if I'm going to pull over. Let him go around me. Right, Tommy?
Well,
just right or wrong.
No, I will say that I used to do that.
No, but how many centuries did you do it like that?
How many centuries? Five.
Five. So I think that not to defend what they're doing, but I can understand how it happens that people end off tailgating because the person in front should pull over when someone else is trying to pass, but you get incensed when somebody flashes you the lights repeatedly because you ignored them the first three times and you didn't pull over, and that's when that person begins to tailgate. Not to excuse it.
Well, part of the time when this happens, it seems like when it happens around here, it's not possible to pull over. And they're
flashing the light, isn't it?
Doesn't make it any safer or quicker to get over.
See, the real problem is that a lot of times it's very difficult, if not impossible, to pull over. And what the person is saying to you by flashing his lights is not, I want you to pull over because I know that there's no place for you to pull over.
I want you to disappear.
I want you to either disappear, vaporize, or do 80 miles an hour like I want to do. Even though you're already passing the cars in the lane to your right,
exactly.
The person behind you is being so rude as to tell you that's not good enough for me, and what I want is all that's important. That person needs to be vaporized.
I'm sorry, your boyfriend is one of them, and I'm not taking my medicine anymore.
Because guys like that make me nuts. And if you had your druthers, you get out of the car, you'd punch his lights out.
Everything is going to be all right. Those nice gentlemen. I'm gonna take
who are these men?
With those nice white
coats.
Is it
the ice cream?
Those ice cream men are going to take you out for a sundae and a straitjacket. So anyway, Kathy, there you have it.
There you have it.
That's
Dump this guy as soon as possible. And don't believe that he's basically a nice guy because he's not.
You know, we got to keep those kids away from those European roads. They're learning bad habits. I'm telling you, that's where it started. See you, Kathy.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Bye.
Wow. All right. Before we get to the new puzzler, which I'm going to introduce this week, we are going to pause and take a short break.
And when we come back, like, what's going to happen? Is the show going to suddenly be less lousy?
No. We're just going to have the new puzzle.
Ah.
What do you want, miracles? We'll be back in a minute.
Dreamed a little dream kind of late one night. I got up in the morning and began to write. Smoke puffed a crazy car was his name.
And even though Julianne Moore hees her Oscar at her radio whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we are here to discuss cars, car repair, and my new puzzler, which I stole out of a book, and I can't remember what book it was.
So you don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer.
But you know the question.
I think I know the question.
That's as good as I can ever do.
Here's the question. Three guys go out fishing. They decide in advance that whatever they catch, they're going to divvy it up
equally.
Was
this a motorized boat or a sailboat?
This was a sailboat because this is a non-automotive question.
Okay. Oh, don't forget. They go out fishing. Yeah. It was just during the week?
Stop interrupting. Is this what you have to,
this
you have to put up with
go ahead.
Every week? What a pain in the butt this is.
I'm sorry. I'll try to be good.
So they decide in advance that whatever fish they catch, they're going to divvy them up three ways evenly.
As they catch them?
No.
Okay.
When they get back to port. So they finish fishing for the day. They pull back into port. And they're going to sleep on the boat overnight, get up in the morning, divvy up the fish, and go home. In the middle of the night, however, one of the guys has a severe hemorrhoidal flare-up. And he's got to get to the drugstore right away to buy some stuff, preparation, whatever it is.
Yeah.
G, B. So he goes to take his third of the fish, and he notices that the number that they caught is not divisible by three. Unless he throws one of the fish overboard. So he does. He throws one of the fish overboard, takes his third.
So like for 100 fish, he threw one away.
And took 33.
And took 33. I got it.
Leaving 66.
Got it.
But it's not the right answer.
No?
No. So he takes his third and he leaves. Somehow, a few hours later in the middle of the night, another guy wakes up with horrible stomach pains. Gotta have the K-O-Pectate. Gotta have it. So they're going to bump into each other at the drugstore. He says, I'll take my third of the fish, and then I'll go home because I can't stay here like this. So he goes to take his third, and he notices, interestingly, the same thing, that he can't take a third unless he throws one fish overboard. So he throws one fish overboard, takes his third, and goes home.
Got it.
Third guy, whose stomach is fine, whose hemorrhoids have not flared up, he gets up in the morning, and he realizes that he hasn't taken his third of fish, but he's going to go home anyway. He figures the other guys are still sleeping.
Got it.
So he says, I'll just take my third, and I'll go. And when they wake up, they can take their third.
And they'll get stuck paying the fuel bill.
Right. However, he realizes that he can't take a third.
Let me guess. Not divisible by three.
Not divisible by
Sonya three. Sonya Henny's tutu.
What are the chances of that? He throws one fish overboard, takes his third, and leaves.
Got it.
Question. What is the smallest number of fish by which this little scenario could have taken place? Not the smallest fish. That would be like minnows. The smallest number
that they caught. Right.
That they started with when they pulled into port. That's it, man. If you think you know the answer to this puzzle, you write it on the back of a $20 bill or an aging corn muffin.
Ah.
And you send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Ah! Our fair city.
Excellent. Perfectly done. Massachusetts 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. And the phone number is 1-888-CAR-TALK if you want to talk to us. That's 8-882-278-25-5. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Well done. So next week, I'm the one that has to forget the answer to the puzzle.
You have to forget the question.
I'll try to remember that.
I'll try to remember to forget. I have to figure out the answer between now and then.
Good luck. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, good. I'm actually on. Listen, I did a bad thing last week.
Yeah.
I did a bad thing.
How bad?
I set my truck on fire.
Oh, that's why you haven't given us your name, huh? Is this still an open investigation?
Did you do this purposely?
No, it's not that bad.
Oh, do you have an alias?
Anyway, my name is Ben. I'm calling from King Beach, California.
Hi, Ben. So what kind of a vehicle did you set on fire, and why?
Well, I set on fire one of those modern marvels of American engineering called a GMC S15 pickup.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to get it started and determine what was not making it start.
Yeah.
So I sprayed some of that lovely etherized starter fluid.
Starting fluid, yes.
Ah, yes.
You know, took off the air filter cover, sprayed some of that in there, and tried to start it up, and it turns over just fine. So I figure the ignition system is working quite well. But I go around to the front of the car, and there's flames inside this central port injection assembly.
Yeah, oh, sure.
So I'm blowing like crazy. I blow all the flames out. Then I noticed that something was burning and dripping off the back of this whole assembly.
Oh.
Okay.
You sprayed the stuff everywhere.
I really tried not to.
You have to be very careful with that stuff. It's flammable, man.
So I ran into the house and grabbed my fire extinguisher.
Good.
Okay, and put this stuff out. But there's dry chemical fire extinguisher everywhere. And, you know, and I have the cover off, so it's going straight down into the fuel injection ports or
whatever. Right, into the cylinders, exactly.
So I'm, you know, I vacuumed out as much as I could.
Well, that was dangerous. Well, I'll explain why in a minute.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, have I done any permanent damage to my engine by having some dry chemical fire extinguisher down inside it?
No.
No, as a matter of fact, it's a little known fact that that's what they put in the catalytic converters to reduce the emissions. So if anything, you've reduced. No, you haven't heard a thing.
Does it start?
Well, yeah, it, to the tune of $400, I did actually have the fuel pump replaced.
Ah, okay.
Right, so what you did is you introduced a small amount of ether to replace the larger amount of gasoline that the fuel pump wasn't supplying.
Correct.
And that's why it backfired through the intake.
Oh, it backfired.
Yeah, that's what set the stuff on fire.
Ah.
That when the valves opened, the presence of the ether in there caused an explosion to take place in the intake plenum, and it shot back through the intake, and it was burning up your fuel injectors.
And the fire extinguisher chemicals won't do it any harm. I shouldn't go around and punch the oil and get it out of there.
I can't tell you how many times we have had to spray those same chemicals on cars in our shop. I mean, it happens. It's an occupational hazard. Well, cars catch fire.
And you, what choice do you have? You can either let the thing burn or you can introduce strange chemicals. So,
yeah.
And they're not harmful to the engine, but vacuuming them could have been harmful.
And needless to say, they will inhibit the combustion process as they get sucked in, because that's what they do. But they will just get pushed right out the tailpipe.
Oh, yeah, I cleaned it out, changed the air filter.
But here's the danger. When you were vacuuming that thing,
uh-huh,
which is the throttle body, you ran the risk of sucking gasoline and or ether vapors into the vacuum cleaner. And when you do that, and those vapors come in contact with the electric motor of the vacuum cleaner, because the air gets exhausted through the motor, and that's what cools the motor down, you could explode the motor. You could have exploded your car and your vacuum cleaner on the same day, Ben. Well, you would have looked real stupid.
That would have been quite spectacular. It's just one of those French jobs that you see on television.
Yeah, you don't want to vacuum flammable things.
That's okay. I vacuumed it the next day.
Well, that saved you.
Good.
That saved you.
It's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, luck is good, isn't it?
Luck works.
It's a fine thing.
Yeah. Well, but now you're all set and drive it and don't worry about a thing. You haven't heard anything.
All right.
Good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you, Ben.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys?
That's it? Hi, and you laugh?
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. Okay.
You know, the real good call-in shows have somebody on the staff that holds up a sign or something. They're holding up a sign now.
They have computers, man. People are typing in, your next call is so-and-so.
Right, your next call is
6'2".
Is Elvira from Grand...
She wants to talk about blah, 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 blah.
Grand
blah.
Junction,
her
Colorado.
Husband went to MIT. She goes to Harvard.
Yeah, we don't know anything about you. We don't even know your name.
Well, it's Maury.
Maury.
Maury, yeah.
How do you spell
M-A-U-R-I?
M-A-R-I, yeah.
M-A-R-I. Right. Mari.
Mari.
Yeah.
And where are you from, Mari?
I'm from, well, recently moved from New York City to Shelton, Washington.
Shelton.
Yeah. Close to Olympia.
That doesn't,
really?
Doesn't ring
That's the
bells
capital.
With me. Shelton, Washington. Olympia, right. I knew I learned that in sixth grade.
Okay.
So you're like in the middle of the state, sort of.
Right on the edge of the Puget Sound, yeah.
All right. So, do you want to talk about cars or anything like that?
Well, okay. Here's the deal.
We don't really want to talk about cars, do you?
I kind of just want to talk to you guys. You guys are
yeah.
Just
you sound like a nice person
up.
To talk to.
Well, we don't have to talk about cars. I mean, we're bored with that anyway. Fine.
I think my husband would be disappointed if I actually didn't get around to the car talk.
Well, do you have anything in your personal life that you'd like to talk about?
Any problems you're having with him?
How much time you guys got?
All the time you need.
Whatever you need, we can do it.
Well, this is a very personal issue, actually, about this car.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. The 1988 Omni that we have, Dodge Omni.
Uh-huh.
The body is falling apart.
Yeah.
And there's this 240D diesel Mercedes that is just beautiful.
And crying out to you.
It is. We want to take a step in that direction.
But when you walk near it, it says, Maury.
It does. It makes me feel like an adult.
It's
aesthetically, it is just so beautiful. It's 1975, 170,000 miles. But the engine seized about 4 years ago. It was a one-owner car. He says the engine seized on the highway. It was 100-degree weather in California. He was in a real bad car jam, and he forgot to look at the dials.
Uh-huh.
This sounds odd to me.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
Yeah, it can happen.
So the whole engine has to be rebuilt to the tune of $5,000.
Yeah, you're sitting there on the L.A. freeway, and it's hot, and everyone's blowing the horn at you.
Yeah, and your shorts are riding up on you.
Your wife just gave you the bad news that she's leaving. You got fired from your job. Who cares about the big red light on the dashboard?
Your stock portfolio is going down the crapper. I mean,
and you got a rash.
So bad, you haven't been able to sit down for a week.
Yeah,
you're going to worry about a light.
Yeah, so I can understand that. It happens. Yeah.
Okay.
So what does he do? Did he fix it?
And rebuilt the engine.
Still a diesel.
And so now it has...
No miles on it, on the engine at least.
Basically, it's got a few thousand miles on it.
Sure.
How much is this dog? That's one important question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's $4,000.
I was going to guess five.
Four is
good.
The price is right.
It's good.
Oh, that's cool.
The second question is, are you ready to enter adulthood?
Oh. Yeah.
Because this is more important. This is a big step,
Like monetary commitment.
I'm not old enough to own a car like this.
No. I mean, I've heard that adulthood is not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
If you're going to look like you're an adult by driving this car, you're going to be expected to act like one.
I'm going to have to brush my hair and my teeth and stuff in the morning.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So think about that. Think of all the repercussions of buying a car like this that will thrust you into adulthood.
Here's what I would do, just to make the transition a little smoother.
Buy a Buick first.
If you buy the car,
take
the Omni and drive it into the side of the Mercedes a couple of times. So you can get some good, big, crushed-in pieces. That will keep you away from real adulthood for a little while.
But the price is right if you really want to do it.
Yeah.
If you really want to do it, I could try to talk you out of it, but I can see if the car is calling to you. How does it do it, Tommy?
I guess I just asking for a little more reassurance, guys.
Well, all seriousness aside,
you
really should take the car,
preferably
to a Mercedes dealer.
Okay.
And ask them to really, really check it out completely
let
you know everything that's wrong with it. Because, I mean, the price is right, but not if it needs another $5,000 of work.
Yeah.
The best thing you could hope for is for them to tell you that it's a useless piece of junk. But if they tell you it's not a useless piece of junk,
then
you should buy it.
And we wish you the very best.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Happy driving.
Right. Thank you.
And buy a new comb because you'll need it. You'll have to be combing your hair.
No.
See you, Mari.
Thanks for calling, Mari.
It is a big step entering adulthood.
It's a huge step. Yeah. I mean, that's why when Jaguar called me and said they wanted me to do the 2-year test drive of the new XK8.
Yeah, you said.
I said, I'm sorry. I can't do it.
Yeah, they called me, too. I picked it up. This is my driveway.
No, I don't want to get involved to that extent. Because you drive around in a car like that,
people
you have to live up to it.
People
you have to live
expect up to a certain kind of behavior.
I mean, when I pull up in my Dodge Dart, are you expecting anything from me? And what do you get?
Exactly that.
What you expected. Right. And everything is fine. Everything's good. Life is good.
While you've wasted an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk, our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion Berman.
And the work fugitive, too.
The work fugitive, right. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Greater Buffalo Biennial Beef Bubka and Biryani Bowl, is John Bugsy Loose Lips Lawler.
Loose Lips. Yes, indeed. Where is he?
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our long-distance truck driver is Etienne Wheeler. Our official spokesperson is Lou Scannon.
Loose Cannon. I got it.
And our shop foreman is Luke Busy. Our pseudonym consultant is Norm DePlume. The head of our division of threat assessment is Ewan What Army. Our senior accountant from the Paris office is Count de Monet. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our in-law hospitality provider is Emil Endicott. Our employee terminator is Laura DeBoom. Our express oil change provider is Joaquin Walkout. Our backseat driver is Veronica Collision Course. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. And, of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey. Known to the snowboarding squirrels in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And if you think of it, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1509, download other fine episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, everything you've always wanted to know about donating your used car.
But we're far too uninterested to ask.
If you have an old car that you don't want to bother selling.
Or you don't want to accept an insulting trade-in offer from a dealer. By the way, I've never received an insulting trade offer for any of my cars.
Oh, yeah, and anything other than, get that heap off my lot was cause for celebration in your case.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, there is an alternative. You can donate your car for the benefit of your local public radio station.
It's easy, and details are available all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though canaries volunteer for coal mine duty whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.